Vegas, baby, Vegas!
At the end of the game, you count up your money. That's how you find out who's best.
All my bets were safe. There just wouldn't be any juice.
The point spreads, the prop bets, the teasers, the parlays. From Vegas to you, this is Behind the Bets.
Welcome into the latest Behind the Bets podcast. We are taping this on Tuesday, June 11th. The Warriors staved off elimination in a wild game. Obviously, losing Kevin Durant to what we think at the time of this taping is an Achilles tendon tear. So huge news there. Warriors come back in the final 3 minutes. We're going to get into all that with Preston Johnson, who you've heard here on the podcast before and also know from Daily Wager, and sort it all out. Also look ahead to the futures, next year's championship odds, because this will affect Durant's decision for free agency and also the other players, because it is such a big summer for the NBA in terms of free agency. We got Troy on the controls. Troy, how are you, my man?
I'm great, Doug. I'm still racing after a wild game last night.
Yeah, how big of a bettor are you?
I'm not a bettor whatsoever. I'm just a fan.
All right, so we're going to open your ears here. You're going to hopefully learn a lot as we're going to dive deep into this Game 6 and Game 7. So we're going to talk about the series price, potential props maybe at the end, and then obviously looking ahead to next year's future market that is unchanged, which is interesting, following the Durant injury and the fact that he can miss all of next year, maybe at least all of next year's regular season. So a lot of compelling storylines right now in the association.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
That's what Warriors fans are thinking right now as we welcome in Preston Johnson after a historic and memorable and put up what other adjective you want to put on Game 5 last night. Preston, how are you?
I am good. I'll go with the adjective weird, man. It was a weird night, but the finals live on.
They sure do, but it's been a really weird series. Think about it. Just the unknown of Kevin Durant and his status. Like, we really haven't experienced that a whole lot. We've had a player here and there in the Super Bowl, whether it be Gronk or even Terrell Owens back in the day. We've had the bloody sock game with Kurt Schilling. I mean, even Kirk Gibson, I'm trying to think about. It's just been so bizarre because the unknown of whether he'll play. Then Klay Thompson gets hurt. Then you have, like, a minority owner pushing a starter on the other team courtside. Like, it's just been a little bit of everything. And the road team has won 4 or 5 games. So it's been really fascinating from a sports perspective and also a sports betting perspective.
It definitely has. It's been difficult for me to really engage in betting these spreads as people that have followed along on Daily Wager or even when we've just been talking on Twitter and stuff. Like, there's so much uncertainty, so for me to jump in and bet these games has been tough outside of the totals, where I think it was easier to dictate some value. But it's bizarre is another good word. It's a better word than weird. But it just, like you hear, you mention all those names and great names of the past and how these guys, they're just, you know, glorified for playing in those types of games and gutting it out, which is what Durant was doing. And then you see the opposite end of it is if you try to do that, there's potential risk, and I'm not sure if it's an exact 100% official torn Achilles, but we'll find out later today. It's awful, and it just made the whole night really weird for me. But we have to look ahead to Game 6, and, you know, that's, I think, what is it, Thursday that they're playing? And, you know, we'll see if there's some value here on either of the sides.
So this is the first game where we kind of have less unknowns, right? Like, we know that Durant's not going to return, and we know Klay Thompson's healthy. So it's really the first time in a while in this series where I think we, and then we also have 5 games under our belt, that we kind of have a better kind of handle of what to expect. And for me, just initially, it's Toronto or pass in Game 6. And I just don't see how Toronto loses this series.
You can bet the series price. I think I looked last night, it's like minus 270 or so on Toronto, where they get 2 more shots at it. The thing for me is this, the only times, and you can break this down outside of just full games, but going into quarters and halves. The only quarters, halves, games that Golden State has beaten Toronto in this entire NBA Finals has been when Toronto shoots 20% from 3. You saw it in Game 2. I think they literally shot 20% flat in Game 2, and Golden State stole Game 2. The first half of Game 4, they were 2 for 12, so like 16.7% from 3, and Golden State was leading. Then Toronto came out, couldn't miss threes in the third quarter, ended up winning that game in Golden State. Last night, Golden State shot nearly 50%. Toronto, I think, shot 25% in the end. And that was one that they only lost by 1 point, despite that huge disparity from 3. So for me, it's come down to Toronto has played better. They're arguably the better team with Kevin Durant being injured and maybe Kevon Looney being, at least hampered to some degree. And he got hurt last night, didn't end up returning. He said he's likely to play in game six, but I think he's a big deal. He's an impact. If Toronto can just shoot like 30% from three, they're probably, going to be in the running at least to win both of these games, either of these games, however you want to look at it. So I'm with you. I think there's probably a little bit of value on Toronto to still win the series. There's probably going to be some hope here that Golden State has an actual shot, which they do. There's going to be two games that are more or less coin flips. They're going to be a favorite in this one right now. They're -3, been bet down from 4.5 already, though. And then there'll be a small dog on the road. So it's going to be interesting to see, but I'm with you. I think Toronto has been the better team. And what are the odds they shoot 20% from three for three straight games to lose the finals? I just don't think they're very likely.
That's exactly what Nick Nurse said. Maybe not exactly, but that's what Nick Nurse said at the quarter break going into the four, is just saying we got to hit some shots. And that was the big difference. And so what was it, 12 more made threes by the Warriors last night. And they have – that's what happens when you have two of the best shooters in NBA history taking almost all of them. I mean, that's the difference. It's not like balanced, they were 20 of 42. It's you have Steph and Klay together shooting 27 of those 42 and hitting 12 of them. So, look, the Warriors can certainly win this series. You can go a nuclear Klay game, and then maybe they play together, and Steph leads the charge like we saw in Houston Game 6 where Iggy and Draymond hit some shots. I mean, look, Draymond hit a big three last night in the fourth quarter. I was blown away when he hit it, and he was kind of smiling. Maybe he surprised himself. But if you get just miraculous minutes from, like, maybe McKinney and Jarebko and Livingston in Game 7, so I think you got to focus if you're the Warriors in Game 6. So I would not lay what currently is -350 at the Westgate Superbook. But I just can't come back with the +275 on the Warriors either. I just don't see how – they're just not the better team. I mean – the Raptors go 7, 8 capable guys deep. I won't include McCall. So even Norman Powell's capable. So the eight guys who can score, too. I mean, that's the other thing. And we got a taste of what the Warriors were last night with a healthy Durant, and that's why I thought this would be a very one-sided series if Durant were healthy. But give the Raptors credit. Kawhi's great. And I don't see how the Warriors win both these next games. So the series price for me is I want nothing.
Yeah, I hadn't seen it was in the 300s now. So if that's the case, any value under 300 is gone anyways if it's -350. So that's probably closer to a fair price. So it's tough to jump in and bet it at that point. I will ask you this because you're Team Martingale occasionally. If you do like Toronto to win this series, why not bet them on the money line here in Game 6 at +135 or so, 130 out there too? If they lose it, then you can bet them again in Game 7. But if they win Game 6, you get pocket of +135 and call it a day. And maybe that's better than laying -300 or something on the series price.
Couple things. I was been very impressed with how the Raptors responded just to, like, pressure. This is not the Valanciunas, DeRozan, Lowry Raptors. This is a much different team. Gasol has had a sort of a calming hand. I wonder if it's his international experience in addition to some of his playoff experience. And then just also the main part is Kawhi. Kawhi is shouldering the burden. But I was really kind of disappointed with how they handled the end of the stretch. Not even just the timeout with 3 minutes to go up six, but everything else after that. Just the behavior, why is Van Vliet handling it? Like, just all that stuff. The moment got too big for them and compounded by the fact that I just think there's better ways to make money than betting against the Warriors. Like, I really liked the Raptors in Game 3, which was a different spot. It was 1-1. They were kind of punting on the game almost, like not telling Klay not to play, even though he could have. This is an elimination. This is different. Like, I learned my lesson in Game 6 against the Rockets that there's just other things to do than try to load up against the Warriors. And I don't know if Martingale in the final two games with only Kawhi, who's really been there, done that, even though I do like Gasol's international experience.
I'll say this because we've seen it a million times at Golden State. That was why I didn't bet Toronto other than to win the East, is I didn't want to have to go up against the Warriors. Now, if I had known Durant was going to probably be out and get hurt, like, maybe I would have considered it more. But I wasn't personally ready after 5 years of basically impossible to bet against the Warriors to jump in and say, all right, now's the time. I was going to wait for it to happen once, and then maybe down the road we get that chance again. So I'm rooting for Toronto. anyways. I think it'd be fun for the league for it just to happen. But I'm somewhat concerned as well, just because I think while there is more experience, you want to say internationally with Marc Gasol and Kawhi Leonard and even Danny Green, they lose this game in Oracle, which, by the way, we haven't mentioned the narrative of can they really sweep Golden State at Oracle three times in a row. That would be impressive as hell. But going back home for game seven, I mean, all the pressure is on Toronto at that point, having had that 3-1 lead with, you know, being a favorite, this and that, blowing two games, and they haven't won one yet. And I think in that scenario, Golden State's really interesting anyway. So I'm with you. I'm probably going to end up passing series spread. If the total gets bet up again like it has the last two games, like 5 points, and I'll probably bet the under again just like I have been. But for now, 210.5, 211 is pretty fair.
Yeah, I mean, it's fair by your metrics, but we've talked about it a lot. Like, I kind of lean under because we've talked about how the series tends to go under, just the familiarity with the other team's offense and things like that. But I think the biggest mistake in Game 3, now this was no Clay, but that the Warriors were pushing the pace at breakneck speed, and I didn't think you wanted to do that when you're so shorthanded. Like, I would say don't push it and then just run Clay and Steph off the screens and pin downs and all that and get them open looks and try to win that way. I don't think you want to get into a volume possession game with the Raptors. So I would lean under more than anything. And just because, you know, obviously the last couple games have just died.
Yeah, they have those two games. I'll say this. I think it was game two and three. You know, they got out and kind of ran in game two. And I think that's why they tried it again in game three. Also because Clay was out, they're like, we just need to get Steph out and try to let him score 50, which they almost did. Problem was defensively in the end because it was biting him on misses. They got worn down. But I will say the pace in those two games was like 100 to 101 possessions. Last night it was 94.8, so we'll say 95 possessions. So for what it's worth, it definitely has slowed down from, you know, that game three where they got blitzed at home, now through game five. And so for me, you have to make those adjustments. And you mentioned it, and I've said it before, but, you know, just in general in NBA playoffs and NBA finals, the totals trend under as the series progresses because of the familiarity, but also because the games just literally slow down and every, you know, possession is then worth a lot more. And the only exception being if a team is up 3-0, that fourth game of a potential sweep, it actually goes over a little more often than under. So for me, yeah, I'm with you. I would just look under. I wouldn't bet it at this number. I think it's adjusted correctly now. But look out for it. If there's some over money and this gets back up 3 to 5 points, you know, then that's the only way I'm going to be looking to.
All right, so we did this emergency pod, but neither of us have a strong play. But it's really like a strong wait and see, because I think if the Raptors to the eye test kind of demonstrate like poise, I think they could win this game, kind of like game 3. If they come out like game 3, don't be afraid to jump in and be intimidated by this Oracle component.
Yeah, I don't think that's the one thing I wouldn't be worried about until it got to a game 7. Like I was saying, I think there'd be more pressure on them at that point. I think they realize game 6, we've already won here twice. They're not really sweating that. I know they were up 6 with 2 minutes and probably should have just closed it out. But, you know, they can adjust, and it's going to come down to 3-point shooting anyways, in my opinion. If Golden State plays a perfect game, like we basically saw last night, maybe they turned it over a little too often, but they need Toronto to shoot 25% just to win that game by one. And Golden State, I think it was 48% from three on a ton of attempts. Like, they shot way over expectation themselves and Toronto way under expectation. So that's the difference for me, is not even the home and away. It's just that Toronto has been the better team. So if they can just, that 3-point variance just swings to average, I think they're going to have a really good shot. So I'm with you. I have sharp friends that all bet the Raptors last night at +4. 3.5s today, got bet down to 3 now across the board. So for what it's worth, that's where the early sharp money, in my opinion, was. I didn't actually bet it myself. I don't know why. I just didn't have it in me to do it. I was going to wait on Kevon Looney's official news, because if he plays, I don't like it as much. But if he ends up sitting out, then it probably is also Toronto. We haven't talked about his impact much throughout the playoffs we have. But DeMarcus Cousins, as good as he maybe looked again for a brief period of time last night, it was another one just like that second half of game 2 that maybe was a tease. He was still a net negative -4 in the game last night. He can't defend. Kyle Lowry took him to the basket 4 different times for layups. And they started doing it more intentionally down the stretch, especially at the beginning of that fourth quarter when Steve Kerr put out the weirdest lineup I've ever seen for an NBA Finals team down 1-3 with a lead in the fourth quarter, but they just took it to DeMarcus Cousins. So if Looney's out, I think that's a bigger deal too. So anyway, that's why I was waiting, but early money was in Toronto.
Yeah, I believe Van Gundy called it offensively challenged.
Challenged, yes.
Let's turn the page, though.
Baby needs a new pair of shoes. Come on.
I want to look at next year's title odds, and I talked to the head NBA odds maker at Caesars, and he said no changes based on Durant's injury. And this is really compelling because of the giant free agency this summer, and Durant leading the way, Kawhi potentially as well. But there is a chance Durant opts in. So for those unfamiliar with all the kind of technicalities of free agency, Durant isn't 100% a free agent this summer. He has a player option this summer. So he's expected to opt out and then become a free agent. There's always the chance he opts in because of the injury component. Now, I have talked to a few people in the know, so to speak. It sounds like every team would definitely want to offer the max money regardless. Like, we've seen Dominique Wilkins back in the early 90s come back from this injury and be okay. Now, we've seen other guys like Elton Brand, Boogie, Kobe, but they were either at the end of their career or different body types. I think Durant's frame is going to lend itself to being a you know, still not lose a whole ton off his ceiling. Now, I think he'll be better the following year, but it does affect next year's title odds. So the senior odds maker for the NBA at Caesars said that they did not change anything, that nothing changed. So Durant could just show up for the spring next year, whether it's the Warriors or another team, and make a playoff run. Now, obviously, there's chemistry lacking, but he is Kevin Durant, and it's really compelling, I think, for the future book for the 2019-2020 championship. Is there anything based on last night, Preston, that you see could be an advantageous play?
So the thing I wouldn't do, and I think the Knicks, for people that weren't aware, they were 12-1 to win it all next season, and they're still 12-1. So that was kind of already a pretty low number for me, where I probably wouldn't have bothered with Durant going there, even if they had gotten Durant and Kemba Walker or Durant and Kyrie Irving. I don't think it was a worthwhile price anyways. But I will say this, if I'm Durant and it's an actual torn Achilles and I'm out all of next season, I don't know, it feels like the best option would be to just opt in, take the $30 million or so you're owed from Golden State, just rehab there. They're going to give you all the, you know, whatever necessities you need to advance, to train, to get back into shape, physical therapy, all that will be top of the line. And then you can kind of, you know, see where the league is going in a year rather than trying to decide now and make a well-informed decision at that point, whether it be the Knicks again, if they save, you know, cap space for that spot in a year, great. But it also could be somewhere else that he's feeling like he wants to go play. So that gives him more options and flexibility. I think the only downside would be the fact that he could probably make a little bit more next year if he just starts his five-year new contract right away. But make 5 to 7 more million next season. So I guess that's on the table. But when it's all said and done, this is the thing that is kind of interesting to me, and it wasn't the case when these lines came out. But the Clippers are 6-1 now. Is that because everyone's been watching Kawhi Leonard play the last couple of weeks and been betting the Clippers, thinking he's going to go there? If Toronto, which we both agree more often than not will win the NBA Finals, does Kawhi actually leave after winning the NBA Finals? I think the more interesting opt-in, opt-out scenario or new contract could be Kawhi Leonard, who for Toronto, if he goes 1+1 maybe, if he doesn't want to go long-term in Toronto, maybe that's understandable, but he wants to secure his money. He can actually, you know, buy an insurance policy from a third party for $200 or $300 million if he'd like, in case there's a bad injury in the next year or two. But that gives him another year or two to run again with Toronto, maybe run this back if they were to win this year. And then their price right now is 15-1, which I think if Kawhi is in the East next season with this Toronto team, more or less, and some of these younger guys like Siakam and Van Vliet and you know, potentially OG Anunoby coming back, who I think was a factor last season, he's just been hurt this year. They could be just as good, and it's kind of like them or the Bucks, and maybe the Sixers will make a splash too. But the Raptors intrigue me because it looks like on the board, everyone thinks Kawhi is going to the Clippers anyways. But if they win it all, I wouldn't be surprised if he stayed in Toronto, at least do like a 1+1 option to give him at least one more year with the Raptors.
Damn it, that was the one play I was going to suggest. So I think he's gone. I'm sorry, Durant's gone. But I think if he came back, it would be interesting to just let him do the playoff run next year, kind of maybe undo this year if they lose to the Raptors, and then become a free agent. The problem is there's like you know, conversations. He wants to go team up with maybe Kyrie or whatever. There's a domino effect that would make this summer and this injury so compelling to all this. With that being said, I, as much as I like the Bucks and what Giannis has done, but the Bucks at plus 550, and they may lose Middleton, versus the Raptors at 15-1, I just think the East, who knows what the Celtics, there's a chance they don't get Anthony Davis. The reports came out he wants to go to the Lakers or Knicks, and that's why the Knicks are so low, by the way. So, I mean, I think it has to be the only play you make is the Raptors at 15-1, right?
Yeah, I think it's that, or one thing that I've been mulling over in my head since game one. And let me ask you this. I'm going to ask you the question. There's three options here. Either one, the question is, how good actually are the Philadelphia 76ers? Two, how bad have the Warriors actually been in the NBA Finals? Or three, how much better are the Raptors playing now than they were 2 to 2.5 weeks ago?
Well, I think it's the Raptors' regular season was not who the Raptors are in the postseason. Kawhi obviously sat out a lot of games, but it wasn't just him. They got Gasol midseason, and they just sat out guys like Lowry here and there, Ibaka. Like, they rested a lot of guys. And if you look, the only guy they lose for next year is Danny Green. And there's player options for Gasol and Kawhi. So we expect Kawhi maybe to go to the Clippers or whatever, but he could opt in, to your point. And Gasol could opt in, and that's likely going to happen at $25.5 million. So Lowry's already signed for 1 minute. They can kind of – they can tweak on the fly if they lose Kawhi, but not that they're going to win all. I'm just saying for the future. Or they could go all in and be a contender next year.
This is what I'm getting at.
I think they're really good. And the Raptors – excuse me. The Sixers were loaded this year from a starting five component. Now, I don't think they'll be next year because they're going to lose probably Redick, and they're going to lose Tobias Harris and maybe even Jimmy Butler.
So they would have to lose, I think, two of those three for this to be a moot point. I mean, they took this Raptors team to seven games, to needing the four bounces, buzzer beater. They probably were the best starting lineup in the East. Now, they weren't nearly as deep. I think they played like seven guys. All five of the starters in that game seven played like 44 minutes or more. But if, you know, they have time now, if they're able to convince Jimmy Butler to stay and Tobias Harris, I think it's fine you let JJ walk, or unless he wants to take less money to stay as well, because they've overpaid him on 1 year deals twice in a row. I don't know. The Sixers intrigue me as well at 20-1, because I think there's something to the fact that Embiid was sick for two of the games, still kind of looks like he's out of shape. Maybe that's just who he's going to be always anyways, but they still were right there, a chance to win that game seven in Toronto and potentially an NBA title. But again, that's very, very, very dependent, like you mentioned, on free agency.
Right, and they could even flip Ben Simmons for someone, maybe even Anthony Davis, something like that. I mean, there's a chance that Simmons goes packing. Okay, so recommended plays, Raptors at 15-1. I like the under a little bit in game six, and stay away from, in my opinion, of the series price and the game line, but look to bet the Raptors if you see what you need to see, because to me, it's Raptors are pass for game six, because I just think they're better right now than this version of the Warriors, Looney banged up, all that fun stuff. Anything you firmly recommend?
Let me ask you this. At what number would you not bet Steph Curry over points?
Ooh, good question. Probably 34.5.
Okay, because it's been like that 31.5 range, and then it went down because KD was starting to 29.5 last night. He's just been pushing over it anyways, but... anyways, yeah, I think it's going to be higher. I think it should be at least 32.5.
Yeah, I just think like they could go the triangle two thing, and he's going to overpass, you know?
Yeah, it could happen. But he's the one guy I think I'm more confident in. And he was 5 for 14 from three. He missed like five in a row before that big fourth quarter one that cut it to three late. He just keeps firing them. I mean, he's actually been pretty cold from three for a few games in a row. It feels like another big, maybe not 47 points, but I'm very intrigued to see where that prop comes out with KD obviously out now for good.
Yeah, that game three was one of the best games I've ever seen him play. He was great. He was fantastic.
Extra day off. Could happen again.
Yeah, maybe. All right, Preston, thanks for the responding on the short notice. And, I'll see you on the tube with the beard.
That sounds good. You guys take care.
All right.
On your mother's house or not, with my mother in it.
All right, that's going to do it for the latest Behind the Bets podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Troy, did you enjoy yourself?
Yes, I did. I had a great time.
There you go. On the controls out there. So we'll see about the next pod. Maybe we'll do a little Women's World Cup as in the medal rounds or whatever it's called, the knockout stage surfaces, or maybe we're not doing U.S. Open today, but I'll tell you my plays for my guy, if you will. Stand by. Kuchar, Day, Woodland, Casey, Leishman, Nah, Snedeker, and McDowell. All right, thanks to everyone. Appreciate it, and enjoy the rest of the NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup.
Thanks for listening to Behind the Bets. You can listen and subscribe on the ESPN app or download and listen on Apple Podcasts.